Hi, everybody. So welcome to the session entitled Community-Based Response to Petrochem Emergencies. And my name is Megan Latshaw. I work at the Association of Public Health Laboratories. And I'm so excited that I got I just volunteered to be a moderator and I got matched up with this great session. I think it sounds like it'll be fascinating. We have a couple changes to the program, kind of minor. Joy Lewis won't be able to join us. Her husband is sick. So that she was going to be the first speaker. So there is going to be a slight change in the order from what was in the program. But other than that, Velma White, who was with, she was a resident for air neutralization. Martha Huckabee is going to be speaking on her behalf because she's not here today. So our first speaker is Jacob, and he is an architect and a cartographer based in New Orleans, and his maps have been featured in publications such as 2013's Unfathomable City, a New Orleans Atlas. In 2006, he co-founded the Alluvium Center for Urban Research, and you can ask him what alluvium means. He just explained it to me. I had to ask, maybe you guys won't, whose inaugural work, Exposing New Orleans, was a part of the U.S. Pavilion at the 2010 Venice Architecture Biennial. What a great excuse to go to Venice. You didn't get to go? Oh my gosh. So Jacob has volunteered as a cartographer for the Louisiana Bucket Brigade since 2008.
So as Megan said, I'm a cartographer, which is a fancy word for map maker. I was actually trained as an architect. I've been volunteering with the Louisiana Bucket Brigade since 2010, and I'm going to show a handful of maps that I made in collaboration with them. And the purpose of these maps and the mission of Louisiana Bucket Brigade, for that matter, is to reduce the health risks that come with living in a heavily industrialized state. So I'm going to start with two maps I made in 2006. These are actually a couple that were in Venice. I was still in school at the time, and this was right after Hurricane Katrina. I was actually trying to understand Hurricane Katrina catastrophe. And I've looked into things like levees and hurricanes, and eventually I came to the petrochemical industry because that definitely played a part in what happened to New Orleans. And I was shocked to learn just how intense the petrochemical industry is in Louisiana, and how the oil and gas extracted and imported here fuels our entire nation through an extensive network of pipelines. This is a map of the pipelines in the U.S. So now we're going to zoom in on what the petrochemical industry infrastructure looks like in our region and here in New Orleans. And this is sort of the context that the Bucket Brigade works within. And by the way, these maps were made for a documentary called My Louisiana Love. Okay, so the greenish blue areas are urban areas. This is New Orleans in the middle of the map, in Baton Rouge. Those are the two biggest cities in Louisiana. And of course, this is the Mississippi River. And I'll talk about this more later, but this is the area called Cancer Alley between Baton Rouge and New Orleans. And also keep in mind too that that Bucket Brigade deals with chemical emergencies, and of course the scale of emergencies goes up as you get closer to urban areas. So as you're looking at where the infrastructure falls, is it rural, is it remote, or is it urban? Okay, first, we've got oil and gas wells on land, or rather wetland, and offshore platforms in the Gulf. The yellow and red dots are sites of intense extraction in fairly remote locations. And then we have these green pipelines that connect to those remote extraction points to refineries and storage terminals along the river that, as you can see, fall closer to the urban areas. I think we got one more. And then these are the fairways out here. Fairways guide international tanker boats to port. And one of the most important fairways is this one right here. It leads tankers from Venezuela to this place called LOOP, or L-O-O-P, which stands for Louisiana Offshore Oil Port, which conveys 13% of our nation's total foreign oil imports. Just a fun fact for you. While I've got this one up, because I feel like it is a lot to take in, I just want to talk a little bit about two ways that the Louisiana Viking Brigade uses maps to work within this context. So it's easy to say that the oil and gas industry is extensive in Louisiana, and it wouldn't be a lie. But sometimes it's helpful to use maps as a representational tool because they add a dimension to the conversation. So the first of the two types of maps is the representational map. Representational maps show simpler statements and process data graphically for the purpose of getting a point across. But the other type of tool, which is actually what this one is, in my opinion, is as a map as a tool for analysis. So analysis maps are used when to analyze data when there would be no other way to understand the data because there's simply too much of it. For instance, with this map, we know there's a lot of infrastructure. We often say that there are 150 chemical plants along the river between Baton Rouge and New Orleans. We often say that there's 60,000 wells in offshore platforms, and we often say that there's 36,000 miles of pipelines, but it doesn't really mean anything until we map it. And to tell you the truth, the visualization actually always still surprises us whenever we map it. I guess a couple other things to point out about this map. New Orleans is the middle, is the very center of the map, yet this map is actually made to describe and to analyze what happens out in the water, because that's a very mysterious territory to us. The BP Deepwater Horizon disaster is like a really good example of that, how mysterious that territory is. And Viking Brigade and myself can only use maps to try to understand it. Okay, moving on. Next map is a representational map, the first type that I was talking about. So this is one that I made with Marco, actually, back in 2010. Marco used to work with Viking Brigade before going off to grad school. So there's 17 refineries in the state of Louisiana, and New Orleans is down here, and the Viking Brigade, Louisiana Viking Brigade, is actually, their jurisdiction is the entire state. So you see that there's really three concentrations. There's Shreveport, which is a five-hour drive from here, Lake Charles, which is about 3 hours, and then we've got this Cancer Alley, New Orleans, Baton Rouge kind of concentration. And there's this one outlier that's kind of on the middle of nowhere. But really, there's these three areas. So let me describe how this map works in case you haven't figured that out yet. This map was made to show refinery accidents and what we call refinery efficiency. The icons, the refinery icons and their smoke clouds are both weighted symbols. That means that the icons are vectors. Their sizes reflect the amplitude of what they signify. So in the case of the refinery icons, the larger they are, the more barrels of oil they produced between 2005 and 2009. The smoke clouds are the same way. The larger the smoke cloud, the more air pollution that refinery emitted between 2005 and 2009. I'd just like to note that this is unnecessary pollution. The refineries might say that by stepping up production levels to supply the rising demands of consumers comes with increased risks of pollution, but this isn't true. If you divide the production levels by the pollution levels, you get an efficiency ratio, and you'll notice that some of the smaller refineries are producing relatively less pollution. Are producing relatively less barrels per day, per year, but are still polluting a lot. Those refineries are inefficient, At the same time, you'll notice that there are refineries that produce a lot of oil yet didn't pollute that much. Those refineries are more efficient. And this map was made to accompany a 2010 report called the Refinery Efficiency Initiative, which ranked the 17 refineries of Louisiana in terms of their efficiency and gave several recommendations on how the refineries could cut down on pollution and improve their efficiency. So let's talk a little bit more about Cancer Alley. This is actually the only map in my presentation that I didn't make, but I'm such a fan of it, I wanted to include it. Has anyone seen this one before? This is from a book called Petrochemical America by Richard Misrock, a photographer, and Kate Orff, a landscape architect. They did a studio, a landscape architecture studio at the University of Pennsylvania in 2012, and made a really beautiful map. Made a really beautiful book of maps as well as photographs. Highly recommend it. This map is actually they do show the little logos if you look really carefully of some of the companies that line the river between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. But they, instead of just writing the names of the petrochemical companies, they decided to write the chemicals that are produced. And I just like this one because I think it illustrates very well how risky this region is for health, because a lot of these chemicals are very toxic. moving along. Okay, so in theory, it's okay to have toxics near citizens in urban and rural places if they're securely stored in such a way that pose no health risks to the people, but unfortunately, that's not the case. Infrastructure fails continuously, and watchdogs like the Bug Up Brigade have their hands full monitoring them and urging them to upgrade their safety measures. how unsafe are they, and how high are the risks? One bad indicator is what happens to infrastructure during storms and floods. The next few projects in the presentation will show cases where the Bucket Brigade is analyzing the accidents at facilities in the wake of major storms and floods. So we're going to start with Hurricane Katrina 2005. And again, these maps are actually made for that documentary. So here's the path that Hurricane Katrina took. And you can see these are the spills that Hurricane Katrina created by damaging oil and gas infrastructure. A lot of these are offshore platforms that have turned over, but in this case, it's actually storage terminals on the river that have turned over. And as we'll see in Katie's presentation, Murphy Oil, in a suburb of New Orleans called Chalmette, spilled millions of gallons of oil. And what you see here is actually the water that was so filled with oil from the cars and Murphy Oil and things like that in New Orleans being pumped out of New Orleans into the lake was actually so dense that it shows up on this map. So the point of this particular animation right here is to show that the infrastructure is susceptible to storms such as hurricanes. Maybe you guys remember Hurricane Katrina had a 20 to 25 foot storm surge, so just imagine that vector of storm surge going along that line through all that infrastructure. So the next slide is a map that I made in 2011. I don't know if you guys remember or not, the Mississippi River was flooding in May of 2011. And down here in New Orleans, in Louisiana, we have a lot of infrastructure in place for diverting river floods. And one of the sort of worst case scenario, plan B, plan C, plan D situations is that they would open up the Atchafalaya River via Morganza Floodway, which is located right here, and flood all of this land in order to protect New Orleans. And in 2011, the river was that high. It was the first time since, I think, 1973 that they had to open it. So the Buck Brigade asked me to make this map that shows all the oil infrastructure that falls in that Atchafalaya floodway that would be susceptible to damage during that flood. Again, it's lots of extraction points and refineries and pipelines. Similarly, this is a map that was made before Tropical Storm Isaac hit in 2012. Yeah, August 27, 2012. This was a preemptive map that the Buck Brigade actually put into the newspapers and sent to every refinery that was in the path of the storm in order to encourage them to go through their safety measures. The next map shows the post-Hurricane Isaac situation, which is that, unfortunately, these six refineries did not do the best that they could in terms of implementing their safety measures, and these are the pollution effects that occurred. And that's the path of the storm you can see. This is another map, just to, similar to the Isaac map, for Tropical Storm Karen in 2013. Fortunately, Tropical Storm Karen was very weak and nothing happened. And then, finishing up the presentation, I don't think I have to really say that much about the Deepwater Horizon oil disaster. That was big national news, but I just wanted to show you guys that these maps were made in the wake of that disaster. And this is showing the oil spilling away from that Macondo well over time between April 20th and late August 2010. And then the Bucket Brigade, they did work following the Deepwater Horizon oil disaster. Each one of these person icons shows a site where they were conducting surveys, health risk surveys. The orange line shows the shorelines that saw oil, and of course you can see the oil out in the Gulf of Mexico. And then I wanted to close on the work in progress, our project that we're working on right now. And it's kind of a big one. It's maybe 2 or 3 years long project. It's called, we like to call it Down by the River as our shorthand, but it's really the African American History of River Road, Baton Rouge to New Orleans self-guided bike tour. And I wish I had a picture. I should have brought one in this presentation. But there are these levees along the river, and you can actually ride your bike all the way from New Orleans to Baton Rouge without any interruption because of those. So we thought that would be a really great opportunity to guide bikers on a tour of, one, the petrochemical industry that lines the river that we've seen, but also to the often forgotten or covered up African-American history of River Road. And I'll just show you some close-ups. So it starts in Baton Rouge, or we'll start in Baton Rouge and go downriver with the way the river flows. And heads towards New Orleans. And this is the one area that we've actually worked on because we gave a bike tour to the EGA, the Environmental Grant Makers Association, last year. And here's New Orleans in the end of the map. So I'll just go back to that spot where we actually toured, just to kind of give you an idea of what's going on. In yellow and with these blue icons, we're mapping all the contemporary current petrochemical industry sites. And in these darker filled in black circles, we're showing the communities as they exist today. But then for the hollow circles, we're showing communities that no longer exist. And many of them were actually African-American communities that have been pushed out by the petrochemical industry. And Katie will talk more about that when she tells you more about what the Buck Brigade does. Thanks.